Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to a Wednesday morning. You have a seat at the table. The steakhouse is ready to rock and roll. Needless to say, a busy, busy Wednesday, just the way we like it. Breaking news last night. We got a huge Braves and Mets series. We got an NBA draft tonight. We got all kinds of stuff happening. NFL starting to heat up. I watched Aaron Rodgers ramble on for, 30, 40 minutes on Pat McAfee. We got some of that. Just a full gamut of stuff to get into. It's the fastest 2 hours in radio. The Odyssey app is where you need to be locked in at. And here's the lovely Sandra Golden. How are you doing, ma'am?
I'm great, but man, you're all dressed up. You got a Porzingis pep in your step. You're so excited. You're doing live news last night. I thought I was watching WSB. A Steak Shapira is breaking news on the Beltline. That was good.
Well,
now reporting on the Beltline, Shapiro.
Well, I was at the fourth hotel on the Beltline, which is spectacular. I'd never been. This is one of the coolest hotels I've ever seen in Atlanta. Like right on the Beltline, nice. Four or five restaurants. I was meeting a good friend of mine down there, and then this is emotional.
Keep it together.
This is emotional. I found out. I found out about the trait. My daughter from Barcelona is blowing me up. It's midnight there, and all she writes is Porzingis! Exclamation! Exclamation! Exclamation!
This warms my heart. The baby Sophie is
reminds
doing
me
sports
of you with
midnight.
Your dad. Like she,
that's so
I did not
great.
Even have it yet. She's she gets those ESPN alerts all the time. So she was getting ready to go to bed in Barcelona, and she. She'd been in Ibiza the weekend before, and then she was back for some big Spanish holiday. So it was more like, hey, Dad, what do you think of the trade?
That's so great.
And I was like, I haven't even seen the trade. So then I start banging around looking for it. And of course, it's all over the place. So I did it quick. We do that on 92.9, by the way. When news breaks, Conti did a video. I did a video. It's like the immediate reaction. What does Portnoy call it on on Barstool, emergency press conference, right?
You had an emergency press conference on the Beltline.
So we did our version.
So say what you said, because I thought it was quite epic what you said about when Porzingis is on the floor with Jalen. Go ahead.
Well, I mean,
here's
what you have to understand. When Porzingis and Tatum and Jalen and Derek White are on the floor, that's the championship team from 2 years ago. It doesn't run through Tatum. It doesn't run through Jalen. I mean, the offense really runs through Porzingis. And if he's not running through Porzingis, he is every bit an option as those superstars, Hall of Famers. I mean, if Porzingis is healthy, he is next to unstoppable. 7'2" on the block, cannot defend that turnaround jump shot. Obviously, with Trae Young in the alley-oop running the screen and rolls, absolutely indefensible. And then he will go out 30 feet from the basket and bang threes. I mean, he is the unicorn. He is an incredible talent. Before there was, who's our buddy's name? Wembanyama in San Antonio. There was Porzingis. If he's healthy, and that's a huge if, but what are we doing? We are trying to find a way to be the Indiana Pacers last year or be last year's Cleveland team with a 60-win season or make a run at a title. You don't make a run at a title with Terrence Mann, George Niang, and the 21st pick. That's not going to change your franchise. If Porzingis is healthy, the offense will run through him. He will cause a ton of matchup problems. He is a 20-point-a-night guy only because he's a 20-point-a-night guy because he was playing with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Derek White. I mean, he could score 25 a night if he's healthy, and that'll be the thing.
Okay, now you've said if he's healthy four times. So yes. Out of 400 games that he was available for since 2020, he has missed 142. So
give me the number 142 out of
450. 142 out of 400.
You know, a guy that size, he's always going to be dinged up. He's very, very slight, so he's going to have a knee here, an ankle there. The big fear was last year in the playoffs, a mysterious viral illness that he could not get right from. So he'd come out and do 6 minutes, and he'd be back on the bench. They just couldn't get him. You're hearing everything from long COVID to serious virus or all these different things. Obviously, he's going to come to Atlanta and see the greatest specialists there are, and you're not going to trade for a guy that continues to have long COVID or can't play. And listen, the reason the guy's been moved four times is because of health. But that championship team, I promise you, he is as big a fan favorite as there was. One of the, you know, as big a fan favorite as Derek White, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum. Maybe not at Tatum's level, but right there, dude, he's a baller. And when you start thinking about Risa Shea, Dyson Daniels, Jalen Johnson, Trae Young, Okongwu, and Porzingis, yeah.
Okay.
I like it a lot. Good. I like it a lot. Meanwhile, where were you last night?
Book of Mormon at the Fox Theater. It's playing until Sunday, y'all. It is very dirty. I'm just going to tell you. It's not for the kids. It is just not. And
how about my 14-year-old, Bobby?
I don't think so. I mean, I had forgotten about it's really
common. But the music's great,
the music is phenomenal, but the amount of F-bombs and subject matter.
What are we doing? We're not going to church. I mean, what are you getting so...
Book of Mormon. See, I see what you did there, going to church.
Why are you getting squeamish, though?
Because I literally was... The lady next to me left, and she was an older lady. And, yeah, and I, of course, was... Me and my friend Corey were laughing ourselves silly, because it is... It's the writers of South Park, y'all, so you get where it's dirty, okay?
I think I'm taking Bobby this weekend. That sounds like a father-son.
Yeah, well, he's already met Mike Bell, who was more offensive than this show. So there you go.
No doubt.
Dropping F-bombs.
Once you've had dinner with Mike Bell.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. Don't get me wrong. It's really, really fun.
I saw it on Broadway many years ago. So that was fun for you.
Yeah.
I mentioned I was down at the Fourth Hotel, which is amazing. They got a great Italian restaurant there. They got four different things. The Beltline, I mean, if we were young and we were cool, and we're neither... We're not young and we're not cool, but that's where we'd be living.
And the big headline was that they opened the longest stretch, I guess, of it. So
I mean, to be able to walk 3 feet and have the whole city at your fingertips, which is if you stay down there, you live down there.
Yeah.
You know, just restaurant after bar after cafe after running path, bike path. I mean, it sounds like, duh, that's the Beltline. Well, I was down there last night. It was a beautiful night. Although it's hot. It is.
Getting out of my car in this garage this morning, even. It's like my glasses. I know. I listened to us. Did your glasses all? Yeah, right? Wait. Y'all just be careful out there. By the way, New York, you're adorable that all of a sudden now you're like, it's hot here. I'm like, yeah, hi, welcome to the South.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear
it is 100.
Game time temperature.
Well, it is 100 degrees.
I know, but you know what? Anything that happens up north, they act like they invented it. So everybody step back and get back in your car and be quiet. How about that? Just come to Atlanta
any
day of the week in summer.
One would argue that is how we behave when it's like a half an inch of snow, not what we're used to. So up there, when it's 102, that to them. So let's just be open-minded. It's very warm for them.
Listen, Pocket Square.
What?
I am telling you one thing. When something happens in New York, I get it. It's, it's the coolest city in the world. We got it. Just relax with the 97,
I'll tell you.
I walked into TJ Maxx yesterday, and it was 102 in my car. So back up, Manhattan.
I'll tell you what happened in New York. I'll tell you everything.
Look at you, Spencer Strider. Braves have now won 9 of 12. Beat the Mets again. 7-4 was your final. Strider struck in out 8. 5 innings. 2-hit ball. Did walk 3 in the 4th. Got into some trouble. 33 pitches. But good for you going after Juan Soto. Did you guys see that? So he literally, Juan Soto's arguing balls and strikes, and Spencer just clearly says, right across the middle. It's right across the middle. I got you.
Soto's such a crybaby, too. Any pitch that he strikes out on looking is going to automatically just be like, there's no way that, Spence told him.
I love it.
Right down the middle.
Y'all.
Swing the bat.
5-0 against New York. It was hot there. I don't know if you guys have heard. It was really hot at the first pitch. So tonight we got Didier Fuentes and Clay Holmes, 7-10. Let's do this.
The Braves never lose!
I'm so sick of him. Aren't we so sick of him, too?
Frank the Tank. Hey, it is something over the last week. Forget about that Marlins series where you unfortunately lost two or three, but you stepped up for all three of those games. You thought the Chris Sale was kind of the pinnacle. Unfortunately, busts his rib on that play when he beats the Mets in, I think it was the third game of the series. Then you go up there. Now you've won two straight. Feels like, you know, there's a momentum level, and you are, I mean, you're taking a team in front of you in the division that was 14 ahead of you that's now only 8, I believe. We picked up six games.
We picked up six, yeah.
They are 1-10 in 11 games. 1-10 in 11, and you have to, I mean, I think you go to the ballpark laser friggin' focused, dude. You have to just keep finding ways to get dubs. Just keep getting dubs against the Mets. Obviously, they're not first-place team anymore. It doesn't matter. It's building confidence. It's sticking it to them. They have to be mentally reeling. I mean, a 1-10 stretch for a payroll like that? Come on.
So the draft is tonight, the NBA draft. We're going to talk all things Porzingis at 9:20, so stay with us. But now we did give up the 22nd pick, so we're going to pick 13th. Several mocks that I looked at, and not one of those three mocks that I looked at have us taking the same player.
Okay.
So we'll go over it. Stake will break down the NBA draft while I go over here and get a manicure.
I enjoyed your, is it called a teaser? What do we call those things for previewing the show?
Yeah.
That was very funny. Recycler.
Yes.
Sanders Recycler said something along the lines of, I don't know, Braves and Mets, and if Steak starts talking about who the Hawks might draft, would you say?
I'm going to fake my own death in the studio.
She's going to... I laughed out loud.
Did
I heard
you?
That oh, yesterday. And I
did
said,
you know I'm right? I'm
I
telling
said,
the
she's
truth.
Very fun. No, you're, I'm not if you're telling the truth, but yeah.
How about Oklahoma City? Their parade was yesterday. Did you even realize that? I thought, well, okay, we're going to do this now. Okay.
So they won it on Sunday. Parade was on Tuesday. Yeah, they turned it around. I need to go home. That's probably
that's
why they just
so
did
great.
It quickly. So
Wednesday parade.
Yeah.
Atlanta Dream, you lost last night at Dallas, 68-55. Ryan Howard had 23 in the loss. I hope you guys are paying attention to the Dream. They're really, really good. They play Friday night at the Gateway Center, hosting the New York Liberty. I just want to mention what's going on in Nashville, Tennessee, is this tight end university. 72 of the NFL tight ends are there for this little mini camp that Travis Kelce, Greg Olsen, and Greg Kittle put on. Last night they had an event at a bowling alley where they're all just partying. One of the country artists, Kane Brown, got up to sing. And he goes, hey, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. Taylor Swift comes out and sings Shake It Off for the crowd that lost their mind.
That's
so this is
awesome.
Open to the public. It was a private party, but folks could get in. Can you imagine? So good.
I could imagine our tight end being there called Kyle Pitts, but then I can't
our
imagine.
Our tight end was there. Charlie Warner was
yeah.
there.
Well, we'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah.
Because I don't think either one of us are buying what the Falcons and Kyle Pitts are selling about why he's not there. But anyway, just 70 other tight ends, right? Just 70, yeah. You know, just a couple. When we come back, you've been a fan for a long time. You keep saying, when are we going to make a run at something? When are we going to make a big move? When are we going to put all our chips in? I think we did that last night. Want to hear from Hawks fans, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. I dare you to tell me this is not a good move. I dare you. Steak and Sandra, the Steakhouse, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. .924, little Bob Seger on a Wednesday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. We are the number one rated sports talk radio station in the Southeast. The biggest numbers in the history of the format. The home of the Hawks, the home of the Falcons, the home of Atlanta United, and the home of the newest member of the Atlanta Hawks, but this can't be totally official, but you know it is, Kristaps Porzingis, a blockbuster trade as the Boston Celtics. You know, all this happened. I want you to think about this, Sandra. You're watching that Knick game. I think we worked together the next day, and Jason Tatum is trying to win game four for Boston on the road. When Jason Tatum goes down, when he has a quick jolt and his Achilles blows, that's the road to Porzingis being in Atlanta and maybe changing our franchise. At that point, and Caleb knows this double luxury tax that the Celtics were under, which is a massive, penalty, right? The Warriors and Celtics, when you start going way, 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 way over the cap.
Yeah, this second apron right now, where the Celtics were at, if they had stayed in the apron, they wouldn't be able to use their 2032 first-round pick. It would be frozen and essentially taken away from them with all of these new CBA restrictions.
Yeah, it's trying to create balance in the NBA, Sandy, where you just can't outspend Golden State's dollars compared to Charlotte's or like 10 times. Mm-hmm. So it's a way to penalize you for being in the second apron, as he's talked about. And that's when they decided we can't win a title with no Jason Tatum. So we're out of the winning a title next year business. We're also not going to pay and get this apron luxury fine for a team that we ran it back. You know, they won the title. You said it yesterday. It seems like nobody can win it back-to-back. I thought you told me Boston was. So they went all in. They paid Porzingis $30 million, Drew Holiday $30 million. They re-signed Jaylen Brown. They signed Tam Elias. It did not happen. They came up short, and then it was very simple. We've got to start unloading assets and get under the second apron, maybe under the first apron, and look to rebuild with younger players. So Drew Holiday gone for Anfernee Simon, I think it is, for Portland, and then Boston has to unload Porzingis, and the Hawks are over here waving their hands saying, we'll take him. And I want you to think about what they gave up. Niang, Terrence Mann, and tonight's 21st pick.
22nd.
22nd. Mm-hmm. Porzingis averaged 19 a game on a championship team 2 years now. Now, again, he wasn't completely healthy, but he shot 41% from three. The guy's 7 foot what? 7'2"? 7'1"? He shot 40% from three. That's good for a kid who's 6'1". Yeah. That's the number you want. Anything over 40% from three is lethal. And then you go back in the box and, you know, you think about backing someone down old school. He's a great passer. He has all the skills. And it's everything you could ask for in terms of adding depth offensively to Trae Young and company. So 42 games last year, 19.5 a game, 6.8 boards, 1.5 blocks. And I don't think Quinn Snyder has any illusion of playing this guy 70 games. It is going to be, you know, pick your spots, have them ready for the postseason, and put yourself in a position to be lethal when Reese Shea has a full year behind him and Dyson has another full year behind him and Okongwu and company, and start developing some of your younger players, Muhammad Gay and company, your number one pick tonight. But it's a outstanding move as far as I'm concerned. You have to take chances. And the Celtics were screwed. I mean, it's not like in Boston. You get George Niang from Methuen, right? So as much as we dubbed George's Niang, who was great with Dukes and Bell numerous times, like, that's not – when you play on eight teams in 8 years, there's a reason. When you're Terrence Mann and you're a journeyman, there's a reason. You didn't give up anything.
Right.
Porzingis is a friggin' stud. So they're going to be very careful with him. Obviously, if he has some form of long COVID or virus that he can't get healthy, that trade won't exist, right, Caleb? I mean, he's got to go through
a massive physical. Yeah, he's got to pass a physical. And just like happened with the Lakers and Mark Williams last year with the Hornets and that whole trade, if something comes back and it doesn't look good, the physical will be failed and the trade won't go through.
Yeah. And then you'll welcome back Terrence and Georges and everything else. I guess it's a little funky because the pick's gone as of tonight, so I'm curious, like, when did that physical maybe already happen? Is it about to happen?
Would assume it takes place today before the draft.
Yeah. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929.
Got a question on Twitter for you guys. Does this mean Okongwu is going to be sixth man, or is KP, do they trade Okongwu for a bigger, stronger backup center and other pieces? Your thoughts.
Well, he's not going anywhere, no. I mean, Nance is... contract's over and Capella's contract's over. So most likely both are gone or one of them will be the backup, right?
Yeah, I think Capella's absolutely gone, but you could potentially bring Nance back if you don't draft a center tonight. But this is a situation where, as far as the who's starting sort of thing, Quinn Snyder hates these questions because it's like, well, it doesn't matter who starts. It's all about who finishes the game. I think the chemistry with 00 will be he's the starter until if Kristaps shows that he's the better option, then they make that transition.
Yeah, I don't think Kristaps cares about starting. And if he did, he's a better player. I mean, Kristaps Porzingis is a proven NBA champion who A lot of folks don't remember this game one against Dallas of the finals last year. I think he came in and just literally, you know, sent a message the entire series. I think he had like 15 points in like 6 minutes and just banging three-pointers. And it was like, oh, Dallas, you're in a lot of trouble. Now, ironically, he also got injured and didn't play much in that series. But this is what you have to do. What do we say? Make a bold move, right? Do something bold. Prove that you're going after it. By the way, the Atlanta Hawks have the greatest cap flexibility of anybody in the NBA after this year. They can decide what they want to do with Trey. Porzingis is a $30 million expiring contract. They have a ton of expiring contracts. They got to re-sign Dyson Daniels for a big number. But they have, right, Caleb, more flexibility than virtually anybody in the
Good
NBA.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ton of money. So, I don't know, man. I'm excited. I'm excited to see a 7-foot-1 guy that can hit 40% from three, go down on the block, play with Trae Young and Dyson Daniels and Reese O'Shea and Jalen Johnson. And I'm looking at the Pacers that don't have Tyrese Halliburton. I'm looking at the Celtics that don't have Jrue Holiday. They don't have Jason Tatum. They don't have Porzingis. I'm looking at them in trouble. I'm looking at the Knicks of being, okay, Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen, but I think you showed their vulnerability. So, like, nothing annoyed me more than, like, maybe we can sneak in the sixth seed. How about being better than that? How about being better than that and give Hawks fans a chance to get excited and then make your decision about Trae Young, which it sounds like for Monsi Sala, this year is Trae Young's year, and then it is a decision to make on that huge contract. They're not going to supermax him. That's not who Trae Young is, but looks like they're giving Trae a few more toys to play with this year.
Good. Yeah. Which he desperately needs.
Which will be more fun. Listen, I'll tell you, Sandra, when you go down to State Farm and you see Porzingis, who has this big smile and all that, and come out on the court, and you're going to fall in love with just he was one of the most favorite Celtics through all these three, 4 years.
I was
peeking
at the Boston papers this morning, and they're not exactly in a free fall. They feel like you feel like, yeah, it's time. Steak and I were just watching ESPN, and the number was, what, from 530 to 260
yeah,
in 2 days?
That's how
their
much
money went down.
They had to get out, exactly yeah. what Caleb said. They had to get out of that yeah. double the second apron, if you will. All right, let's take some calls. Sorry, I know you guys were hanging. T in Uniontown, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's up?
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, you got the right team, but you got the wrong player. And you said dare to tell you that trade wasn't good. It wasn't a bad trade, but it wasn't a good trade. What they should have done was taking that 13 and 22 pick and go after Jaylen Brown, bring the hometown kid back. Of course, Porzingis traded.
Let me ask you a question. You think the Boston Celtics want the 13 and 22nd pick in the draft for a kid that's going to the Hall of Fame, which will be Jaylen Brown? You think that's a trade they could have made? Who the hell? Who is the 13th and 22 pick? Now, if you had said the second pick, because that's what Jaylen Brown commands, the second pick in the draft, or Cooper Flagg, conversation was, would Dallas trade Cooper Flagg for Jaylen Brown? But you're talking 13 and 21? Maybe 13... 21, what else are you offering to get Jaylen Brown?
Okay, put in a couple of players, but let me ask you this.
What do you put a couple of players? You want to roll down a run and shoot and grab a few guys playing midnight basketball and put them in?
Okay, before you let me go, let me ask you this. You were a play-in team before, so bringing Porzingis in, what does this put you? You're not a top five team.
How about Jaylen Johnson healthy? How about Dyson Daniels another year? How about Reese O'Shea's put on 20 pounds? How about you got a 7-footer that's 40% from three? I mean, come on. What are we doing, T? T, what are we doing?
Come on, T, get with it. T, don't be like that.
13 and 21, we're going to get Jaylen
Get
Brown.
That Porzingis pep in your step like Stakey
Thank
does.
Thank you.
Listen, put on your pocket square and get your mind right,
Make
T.
a phone call, Hawks fans, and show a little passion. Am I the only guy here? Or am I just a simpleton? Is that what I am? When we come back, it's a fail, 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 fail. I believe it. Sandra believes it. We're talking about one of our Falcon players. You won't be surprised. Stick around. We'll come back. Also, Pat 40 coming up, 10 o'clock hour, Sports Radio 92.9. Night 40, Steak and Sandra. Having a wonderful Wednesday. Anytime Sandy's in town for 3 days.
So nice.
We really get the energy and the flow. We get the flow. We got it flowing. Both had wonderful nights last night. I was down at the 4th Hotel in the Beltline. Didn't get a proper meal. They got an Italian restaurant there called Il Primo. Very fancy. And you know me, I just as soon get like a chili dog or something like that. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
You're a real Olive Garden kind of pop in and get a meal guy. Yes. Absolutely. Il Primo. Yeah.
Today at lunch.
What do you mean you didn't eat there?
You know, the Hawks trade got me emotional.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh. I got your tummy upset. I got a little nervous.
Too much excitement for me. So I just had a couple of drinks and I just started talking people's ear off and had a little snack. But you know, I can do better. I know I can do better. You know, and I will. Right. And I will do better. I'll mm-hmm. eat better. I'm going to do all that. So, do we need to do anything for a tailgate? Pat Forty's going to join us from Sports Illustrated, right? SI.com. And they're talking about letting college athletes bet on pro sports and just getting away from even trying to police that. We'll also ask him just like, what's he excited about? 4 or 5 games coming up in the college football season. He's just a great guest.
Yeah.
So he's coming up at 10 o'clock hour. More on the trade. Porzingis to Atlanta as the Hawks try to make a run in the Eastern Conference. Quinn Snyder and Trae Young and company. Should we just say that the tailgate is brought to you by?
All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Yes.
So explain.
I want to start by saying.
Yeah.
Speaking of tailgate, and I just reached out to Rusty Mansell. I was watching ESPN's NFL Live with Dan Orlovsky and Laura Rutledge yesterday afternoon, and they are live at Tight End University, which George Kittle, Greg Olsen, Travis Kelce put this thing together. It's their 4th year doing it. When I tell you the appeal of what they're doing, I'm very surprised that other position groups haven't done something like this. There are reportedly 72 NFL tight ends at this camp, okay? And I watched during the half-hour show, Isaiah Likely and Dallas Goedert were the guests live. And they kind of were going back and forth on what they were doing. And they were asked separately there, so these are two separate interviews. Who out here kind of jumps out at you? Both of them, without hesitation, said Brock Bowers is not even for real. And they went on and on about he's almost too physical. Like, you got to protect him from himself. And just how he has raised the game for all other tight ends. Isaiah Likely said he was going to go down as the greatest tight end of all time. He sees that happening. So I reached out on Rusty on Twitter because I'm just going to raise my hand. When you talk about the greatest tight end of all time, why is Brock Bowers better? What is it that he is doing that he is that much better than the rest?
Well, he is the most athletic position. He's the most athletic at that position maybe than we have ever seen. Kelce is close. Tony Gonzalez is close. But he's just a bigger specimen or tougher. Mm-hmm. Now, Gronkowski, I would argue, is the greatest of all time because of his blocking, right? So he's like another offensive lineman. But he also was you couldn't defend him at all because he's got these ridiculously soft hands and he's like 6'5 and he's massive. Or you say
so even Travis, when I look at Gronk and Brock's body style,
right.
Those are two different animals. Is that fair?
Yeah, Brock's bigger than Kelce though, and Brock is just so athletic.
Yeah.
Listen, Brock is the best athlete. I remember watching him as a freshman. You're probably tired of hearing me say it, but I went to the Georgia game before Sophie was even in college there, and we were there together, and I said, watch this freshman, this kid at tight end. He's the best player on the field. And then sure enough, he catches some ridiculous 360 end zone catch against Arkansas. And then everything. Listen, think about running stuff to him in the seam and watching him go 50, 60 yards up the field and outrunning corners, right? So Tony Gonzalez not doing that. Gronk's not doing that. You know, George Kittle's great player. But I think if you look at the absolutely circus numbers that Brock Bowers put up and the athleticism, I mean, I said it last year, the only guaranteed player in the entire NFL draft is Brock Bowers. Like, that guy is, and we couldn't take him because we blew it with Kyle Pitts at 4, which is something else we should talk about. But Brock Bowers also was on yesterday. I remember what he was on that show, and he looked very relaxed. Listen, my daughter is flipping out because he's been getting his degree in Athens.
Yeah.
So he's been training in Athens, and out and about. And but he's just all about football. I mean, the guy is like a robot, like Kirby would say. Like he is a football machine.
He's a perfect player for Kirby, right? Like you can't ask for more.
You just said it. He's a perfect player. Period.
Yeah.
He's a perfect player. Now let's talk about an imperfect player. And I apologize. We are not trying to tell you somebody's not injured. We are not trying to tell you somebody's dogging it. That's not what we're saying. I don't know the extent of Kyle Pitts' injury. But I'm just going to say that to say that he's not there with 72 NFL tight ends because of injury, I'm calling bogus. Like, there's a million things to be gained by being with your peers, by talking about that position, by figuring out how to be better, by ingratiating yourself in that community. You know, that's a business trip slash, you know, like certain business trips like we're in Vegas or Nashville,
yeah.
And we're like,
networking,
oh.
Yeah.
I mean, why can't you? Your job is a National Football League tight end. You're a professional football player. There's 70 of them gathered in Nashville. Mm-hmm. You're a professional athlete. Take 2 or 3 days to commit to your profession and be there. And I believe it is a microcosm of what ails Kyle Pitts, which is a lack of passion to be the best. Because if you want to be the best, there may be 10 things you pick up. And by the way, George Kittle's better than you, and Travis is better than you, and Brock Bowers is better than you, and you know TJ Hawkinson's better than you. Like, they're all better than you. So maybe go there and find out what are they doing that I'm not doing that makes them better than me.
And Stake, what they were doing on the field to actual these workouts were the least of what was going on.
Great point.
Dallas Goedert got on and said that film work that he picked up 2 years ago, he went into a story of literally they would bring up film of each of the players, and Travis got up there and said, you know, talk about approaching your defense. When you get to that line of scrimmage, what are you looking at? And Travis was telling Dallas, you're doing it wrong. Like, here's right. What you need to be doing. He said, I have 180 flipped my approaching the line of scrimmage and judging defenses. That's what I've learned.
How much better, and Bo, who has our fantasy show and hosts and understands, like, how much better pass catchers are NFL tight ends now, especially as they keep coming in the league and putting up more and more points about, you know, essentially third wide receiver types in some cases.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys out there that are approaching 1,000-yard receiving seasons because they're such better athletes these days. Like, guys like Kittle. Kittle can catch a short pass and just take off down the field. You know, Dallas Goedert's the same way. Plus, they're bigger guys, which makes them end zone
targets. Give me some of the other guys you like that have just stepped. I mean, Mark Andrews we've known about for a while, right?
But, yeah, so, Isaiah Likely, though, to mention him, is about to pass Mark Andrews, if he hasn't already,
at Baltimore.
Tight end number one in Baltimore.
Yeah.
So he's a great one.
Charlie Warner is there, which we haven't talked. You know, Charlie Warner is there, who's our backup tight end, and is there.
How is Charlie Warner there? And not Kyle Pitts. Will you please listen? You want to talk about a horrendous route runner in Kyle Pitts? If nothing else, learn from those other 15 guys that have better pass catching numbers about what it means to, you know, shed a big linebacker trying to, you know, jump you at the line. What a tighter, what a tighter route looks like. Like, it's a business trip for 2 days with people that are elite. And the fact that he's not there and there's 72 NFL, I'm sorry. We covered Vic Beasley and we covered other guys. And there's nothing wrong that if you don't want to live, eat, and breathe your sport, but you're going to take heat on the other side. And the reason that we don't have Brock Bowers here is we could not draft Brock Bowers, even though he was clearly the best player and would have changed our offense, because we already had a tight end we spent a fourth pick on. So it's just...
And by the way, you guys, they're having a blast. They are at big dinners and events, and they're at, it looks to be, a small college in Nashville.
Like, if I'm Raheem and I'm Zach Robinson, I mean, we all have guys like this in the office, or anybody's been president of a company is like, yeah, not surprised. You know, Jeff's not going to be there. He's claiming he's got whatever. It's not mandatory, but it sure would have been nice to see him at that seminar or whatever it is. Yeah, it's just, it's frustrating. It's like, I don't have to be there, so I'm not going to be there. It was like, is he at camp? No, he's not. Oh, yeah, he's in the back because he's injured. Like, you know, those of you who think he's having a breakout season, That's not the guy. He's not him, to quote, you know, the very esteemed my colleague Bobby Shapiro. He's not him, right? And we're going to focus on Drake London, and we're going to focus on Bijan, and we're going to focus on Darnell Mooney, and we're going to focus on a lot of these. If you think we're going to focus on Kyle Pitts, and he couldn't be there, 404-726-0929. I know people get fired up, and they go after Mike Bell when he starts talking about Kyle Pitts. Just call it what he is. 72 tight ends, you can't be there because you're injured.
There's zero downside, even if he is in a cast on his leg. There is a zero downside to being there and networking and maybe picking up something in
it's
a film room.
You would
By the way, go have a beer with your colleagues and your peers.
Yes.
I mean, just the networking one-on-one.
How about watching the better pass catchers than you, how they go about their craft? How do you get ready for the game? How much film do you watch? Mm-hmm. How do you understand defenses out of the tight end position? When you're lining up in the wide receiver, when you're split right, or how do you like to run on the inside here? Whatever. You're a professional athlete for 10 years. You have the rest of your life to do other things. Do everything possible to get better at what you do. Am I the only one that bothers in Sandra? Because it bothers both of us a lot, and we came to that from different places. 404-726-0929.
I was definitely given, not that he needs a pass from me, but I was thinking in my head, yeah, he's probably banged up. He's not going. But then I saw behind the scenes what was going on.
It's Sar.
Oh,
it's
Sar. With an
Sar
R. I saw, S-A-W. Yeah. You know, to sit there and watch, and I thought, gosh, I wish our tight end was there.
I know, I felt
like
the same
I was
way.
Like, come on, y'all.
So the other thing I watched yesterday was McAfee. I was having on in the office, and he's got Aaron Rodgers' first time in months coming on yesterday. And he's talking about the Steelers, and he basically says, this is going to be my last year. I'm going to go out the right way, and yada, yada. Same stuff you heard about the Jets, and I love Woody Johnson, and this is a great organization for me with, what's his name, Robert Saleh.
Saleh.
Is that the good-looking guy?
The Jets, yeah,
coach,
Saleh.
I love him, and you loved him until you backstabbed him, but my God, you talk about a guy that just wants to, he's just so in his feelings and the self-aggrandization, is that it?
Did he say with a straight face, I don't like the public eye?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to just fade away.
And not only.
Did he say it with a straight face?
You'll never
for
see
real?
Me again. No, he said after this year, and then
funny.
They asked him, they were joking about the wedding. It's like, dude, is there going to be a party? Are we getting an invite? You know, fun.
He said he's really married. Because that's the deal. Everybody's like, you ain't married. Who is she? Where is she?
When they started talking about, is there a party that we're getting invited to? McAfee and the other guys, right? They're just having fun. They're trying to have fun with him. Oh, my God. He goes into a rant about, you know, maybe what's wonderful about the person I'm with is that she has no desire to be in the public eye. Maybe she doesn't even have an Instagram or social media. Maybe I'm trying to respect that. And you have these lurches. The picture of him on the beach with his dog, which is making him crazy that somebody, oh, I got news for you. You're really famous. And people sit, you know, in sand dunes and take your photo.
You're literally on the Pat McAfee show.
Yeah. He says, I have to
you
do
can
this.
Not to,
he's, no, so he's like, I have to do this. But she didn't sign up for this. She, okay, yeah, dude, we get it. The old family member didn't sign up for this stuff. Then he said, you will never see me again after this season. You'll never see me again. I hate the public eye. I will not be in it. But that was after a 10-minute rant about paparazzi and his privacy and everything else. And he took the joy right out of the room. I mean, took the joy right out of it that he was that angry. It's not that big a deal. Ask Charles Barkley, who I would argue we have thousands of our listeners, thousands, that have run into Charles Barkley in Atlanta. And Charles Barkley is gracious and friendly and usually buys the entire bar drinks. That's happened 1,000 times. And it's not that big a burden. And they don't have and he's a lot more famous than you are. Like, get over yourself. I mean, just the whole thing. So we like to come on here and have fun. I'm not out here to crush Kyle Pitts. And Aaron Rodgers, I was like, this will be interesting. Let's see what he says about playing in Pittsburgh and playing with Arthur Smith. And by the way, condolences to Arthur Smith, whose dad passed, Fred Smith, the owner of FedEx. I know how super close and how proud he was of Arthur. So I wanted to hear some of that. But, oh, my God, when he went on that last 10 minutes – and McAfee and those guys are like, okay, I guess there's not going to be a party.
I'm exhausted of Aaron Rodgers.
I know, was.
I guarantee you I'm turning off that show when he comes on.
I want to know what the over-under is on Steeler wins. What do you guys think the over-under is on Steeler wins? I'm going to guess it's 8.5, right down the middle. What do you guys think? Before she looks it up. Bo, what do you think number
9. Is? Yeah.
Tough
with it there.
Tough division.
Super tough division.
Right.
With great
team. 9. Yeah. What do you think, Caleb? Over under on the Steelers.
It'd have to be a half number, right? So 8.5?
I mean, you can make it. No, you can be a regular number and push. I think it's, what do you have?
8.5. Boom. Yeah.
Is it really?
You win. Congratulations,
well,
Caleb.
I said that for him. Why do you have to do? I said 8.
Caleb nailed it.
Caleb was right also.
There you go.
As you said, both things can be true. Both things.
He's just going to disappear, y'all. I'm going to fade away and not be famous.
Are you reading that?
I mean, I saw it yesterday. I go, for real?
I saw it.
I cannot wait. I'm gonna hate watch the Steelers and now root against them. But there you go.
I got a lot of friends who are Steeler fans. It's hard. I don't know. All right. What's the Hawks going to look like with Porzingis? Who are we drafting tonight? I promise I won't talk too much about that. And why the Atlanta Braves are making New York their own. Wow. Back to back, baby. Sports Radio 929.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Olsen, line drive, base hit out into right center. Two will score. Atlanta has played in 5 in the 6 to grab the lead.
All right. I see you. I feel you. Braves win again on the road.
7-4, your final. Strider struck out 8 over 5 innings of 2-hit ball. Got into some trouble in the 4th. He walked 3, had to throw 33 pitches, but... the broadcast was saying that his command was the best all season. And his whole attitude when he's chirping to Juan Soto, that says to me, the woe is me era is over.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's be that guy, right?
It was great.
Be the guy with swagger.
I love somebody in that clubhouse do some chirping. Be the bad boy, please.
Be the guy with swagger.
Yeah.
Be the guy that's confident. Be the guy with attitude. Don't be the guy that beats yourself up. I didn't like it. I think there's a total psychology. If you read these sports psychology books, or there's a whole thing about tennis players on a court and negative thoughts, how that impacts the next point, as opposed to same thing with golfers. Like, there's a way you have to look at things. You're beating yourself up the way Strider was for a while. You know who you are, and Braves need you, especially with Chris Sale down. And the Mets are 1-10. Imagine in Vegas if there's a guy going, like, listen, Mets are best team in baseball, or one of them. They ain't going to lose 5 in a row. We ain't going to lose 6 in a row. We ain't going to lose 8. They're going to lose 10 of 11. I wouldn't touch the Mets right now. I don't know who you would like tonight. What's the matchup tonight?
Didier, Fuentes, and Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes is pretty awesome. But Fuentes, all we need, get through, two complete rounds, 5 innings, let's say. Face the team twice, right?
Yeah.
Just give us that, folks.
All right.
Don't look now, but the Braves have won 9 of 12. So you were talking earlier on, we talked about come to Jesus June. They need to get on a run. This is it.
Yeah.
This is it. So
9-3. I kept saying 10 of 12, yeah. 11 of 13, 11-2 run, get 9 games above 500 on the stretch to get you back to 500 overall. And obviously with Phillies after this. So, I mean.
Also, we need to mention Michael Harris. He got hit, right elbow, kind of upper arm area. They took him out in the bottom of the 6th, so he likely won't be in the lineup tonight, right? So give him a break, and I hope he's okay. Also, the news, y'all, yesterday, AJ Pierzynski on his podcast, and he did put it on Twitters, that he talked to Chris Sale, which is one of his good friends. And Chris Sale was like, I'm going to be fine. It's not that bad. So did you hear that too?
No, but go ahead. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, 2 rib fractures.
Yeah.
And they appear to be of the minor variety. Yeah. So I don't know how big a rib fracture has to be for it to be minor or major. Sale's not worried. Of course, that's what he's going to say, especially to a friend. But it is good news that at least we know what it is. you kind of project. You're still looking like at least a month.
And I took it just the opposite of that because I'm too polypositive sometimes. But I took it as like, if anything, if it was worse, he would have said, oh, man, I'm screwed.
If it was the playoffs, I think he'd pitch within 2.5 weeks. I think because it's the regular season.
Yeah.
Like Bo said, give it a month to really heal.
And 1 week from today, you guys, Jurickson Profar will be in the lineup July 2nd, which is really hard to believe because it feels just like yesterday we were like, oh, he's going to be out 80 games.
80 games went quick. Remember, we were sitting here when that day happened. So 404-726-0929. Lots more on the trade. Porzingis, maybe you just got in the car and didn't hear my take on it, but, I mean, you're getting a bona fide, dominant NBA player. If he stays healthy, and again, that's why, you know, there's a reason you got him for, you know, minimal. The 21st pick.
22nd.
22nd pick. Georges Niang, Terrence Mann. Okay. Nobody's winning anything with those guys. That's why they've been on 12 teams. And, the 22nd pick is absolutely just, you know, going to the roulette table and dropping it on red 7, right? Like, you have no idea what the 22nd pick can be. And you have a guy that for the last 2 years on the best team in the NBA was a 20-point-a-night guy that blocks shots at 7'2", that's 41.2% from three, which sounds ridiculous. If you're shooting 40% from three, not to mention you go down on the post, you can run an offense through him. He's a great passer. Trae Young and him on a pick and roll. The amount of alley-oop dunks he's going to get from Trae Young, it's a tremendous opportunity for the Atlanta Hawks. I could not be more excited. I think about Risa Shea, who supposedly has gained 20 pounds. I think about, obviously, Dyson Daniels coming into his own as a great NBA player. It's all on Jalen, though. Like, Jalen Johnson should be having the greatest offseason of his life. If he is all-star material, we could be in the hunt to win the Eastern Conference. If Jalen Johnson's just a guy, then we'll be just a team, nothing special. Mm-hmm. But if Jalen Johnson is, like, all-star level both ends of the court to go with Trey and Risa Shea and Okongwu and Dyson and Porzingis, then we're talking about an Eastern Conference that's all of a sudden way more interesting. 404-726-0929. Is Sammy and Alpharetta still there? Yo, Sammy, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's up, Sammy?
Steak, what's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Wanted to circle back and talk a little bit about Kyle Pitts. It's like every time I hear a Kyle Pitts topic or see Kyle Pitts on my timeline, I get pissed off. Look, I don't know what he has going on in his personal life. Look, things happen, life happens, but this is a very important year for you. Like this is your last chance. And for you to be a no-show at that tight end event, and when you've got that stigma surrounding you about, you know, does he really care about football? Is he bought in? The clips of him loafing on the field. It just all looks bad.
Yep.
And then I go back to that draft, 2021. Penei Sewell, Patrick Surtain, Micah Parsons, and even Jamar Chase. If we draft any of those guys, this is a vastly different football team the last couple of years, in my opinion. And I hear all these excuses from other Falcons fans who are still bought in or haven't quite given up on Pitts yet, or, oh, it's his quarterback, or it's Arthur Smith, or it's Zach Robinson. Back to the Brock Bowers point. Who did Brock Bowers have that quarterback this past season?
Well, he had Desmond Ridder just to start. I mean, not to start, to end. Just that tells you, he had four different quarterbacks. He put up the biggest numbers of a rookie tight end. Has nothing to do. Kyle Pitts is who he is. Thanks so much for the call. I mean, think about what Kyle Pitts said. Nah, I'm good. Like Sandra says sometimes. Nah, I'm good. 72 tight ends from the NFL. A ton of things you could learn there. I can't work out because I still am a little gimpy with, you know, my injury. But obviously, you know, so much to be gained through osmosis and through actual conversation and to learn why those guys are better than you. You ever think about why are those guys better than me? It's like a sales guy lamenting that I'm never top three or four in our organization in sales. Maybe you want to figure out why. What do those guys do? How do they start their day? How do they put their list together? How do they network business development? What is it that they're always top every quarter and I'm always like ninth? So I would kind of pick their brain. I'd ask them questions. I'd say, what can I do to change it around?
You have to have it within you to want to be better. And just some people don't. I mean, everybody look around your office, look around your home, look around your family. Some people, everybody's not made the same. And it just feels, yeah. Think about the best teams. Think about the best radio shows. Those are when we are together and we have natural chemistry and you just want to be better. Natural competitiveness, ego.
Right. So think about that. I'm glad you said that word. There are tight ends or there are players that would say, I am obsessed with justifying that fourth pick. If I hear that Steak Shapiro or those sports talk guys, or those fans, or if I get rumored to be traded, or they're not going to pick up my fifth year. Like, there are players that would be the way they eat, sleep, drink all day long, thinking about that, right? You know, not to just bring up Brady, but there's a ton like him that know everybody was drafted ahead of me. Why did I drop down to this part in the draft? We just saw, I'm sure Shedeur Sanders, you know, is going to be humble right now. But in the back of his mind, he's like, look at the way I was treated on draft. Kyle Pitts seems completely unmoved by it. Because if you want to be great, you take an opportunity to show up where there are 72 tight ends and not say, nah, I'm good. So, I don't know. It's a human nature thing. We don't talk just about sports. It's like, what does that send the message to the organization? And if you're listening from the Falcons and you want to tell me his injury, he can't get on a plane, He's not going to Vancouver.
So drive to Nashville.
Right.
That's
drive.
What I said. Even if somebody's in a cast, I wouldn't miss it.
There's no excuse.
Yeah.
It's just
a shame, y'all.
It's a horrible look, like that caller said as well. It's a horrible look.
Right.
Speaking of a good look, the coronation of the next NBA megastar, Cooper Flagg, tonight, going to Dallas after Luka Doncic. By the way, Sandra and I were just admiring.
Wowza. He is handsome. He must have dropped 40 pounds. It looks like 40 pounds, 50 pounds.
I'll just say the night they were eliminated, I forget who eliminated this year, he looked like a big, pasty, JCC, over 40 guy who's just like, get me out of here, right? Where's my PT guy,
yeah.
Right?
He looks just incredible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've got full-time nutritionists, full-time trainers.
Well, he had that in Dallas. Like,
so right, but he wasn't. Yeah, he didn't just say, I'm going to prove everybody wrong. Now he's got a real vision of, like, sticking it to the Dallas Mavericks. Here's LeBron, though, talking about the guy that replaces him, Cooper Flagg, going number one tonight.
I personally think that he wants to be great. You know, he had a hell of a year at Duke, guy that can do so many different things on the floor, can play with the ball, can play without the ball. You know, his jump shot is going to continue to get better, super athletic, quick second jump, and also he gets to join a team that's established.
Mm, right.
With Hall of Fame guys, Klay Thompson, Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, right off the bat, Hall of Fame coach Jason Kidd. You know, these guys are like, they can give him the whole blueprint while he continues to learn what his blueprint will be.
He's going to look good in those Mavs unis for sure, man. He's going to look.
Flag day.
Yeah. Hey, let's hear Brian Scalabrine. Speaking of big JCC-looking white guys, you know who he is?
I don't.
Played for the Celtics, but he's like a cult figure up there. He does the games. He replaced Tommy Heinsohn. He's like, 6 years in the league, but whatever. He's really good at what he does. He compares LeBron to Cooper Flagg. Mm.
LeBron James. He's just not an F1 racer. LeBron is 260, fast, 4.440, head above the rim. Cooper Flagg's not a bad athlete. He's a great athlete. LeBron's a super athlete, but they process the same. I know it's unfair, but I'll eventually be right. People will know. Like 3 years from now, they'll be like, oh, yeah, Scal said it. If he has the same longevity, I'm just giving you a comparison of what he could be, but not. You can't look at 50,000 points and championships and any of that stuff.
Wow. Yeah, I mean – the talent coming in, LeBron did 1 year. Sorry. LeBron went right from high school. Cooper did 1 year of college. I mean, they're about the same age coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Difference is he comes in with way more personnel around him. Klay Thompson, Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving. It'll be fun to watch that tonight. I know most of you, it sounds like, I'll watch the draft. But I understand. It's not the NFL draft. and you know, Dylan Harper.
If Asa Newell is sitting there at 13,
you know, I like that he's a Georgia kid, but yep. Okay, I'm not. I love his soft hands. Hey, I love him around the basket. But let's just talk college football. Pat Forty will join us when we come back. Sports Radio 929. Hey, it's 10:24 in the great city of Atlanta. I'm Steak. That's Sandra. We've done this for a long time, a lot of years, a lot of wisdom, incredible wisdom coming through your radio, almost staggering amount, right? I mean, nobody's going to tell you where to eat a Cuban sandwich. And Sandra, I think you reviewed Book of Mormon this morning. And
you're welcome, everybody. Yep.
And then they have this sports thing where you're like, you got to do sports. I was like, what? Do you understand that I'm trying to, you know, find the best breakfast sandwich in Doraville? And then they're like, there's a Porzingis trade. The Braves are hot. The NBA draft. And we say, forget about all that. We get the chance to talk to Pat Forty from SI.com, one of the esteemed writers.
Real journalist.
Journalist! And when you have that opportunity, you just thank your lucky stars and you talk to Pat. Thanks for being with us, Pat. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be with y'all. Is it 9 million degrees down there as well?
Yeah, it's very warm, but we're used to that. Where are you? What town are you in?
Yeah. I'm in Louisville, Kentucky, so yeah we're
you're
pretty
used to it too. Like in my buddies in Boston right now, they're freaking out, man. It's 100 friggin' degrees. All the Dunkin' coffee in the world, we can't get cold. This is awful. Hey, so I have a 14-year-old. He's been looking at betting apps or talking about gambling with his buddies since he was like 11. You know, good or, you know, I'm not here to, you know, prosthesize whether that's good or bad, but it's just the reality. You had the article saying they're talking about voting on having college athletes the ability to bet on professional sports. Why did we get to this point? I think I know, but let's hear from a smarter guy. Why are we at that tipping point?
Yeah, and we moved probably past the tipping point last night / yesterday afternoon. Division I Council has moved that forward, and that was probably the last major roadblock. So this will probably happen, that the NCAA, which previously has said college athletes, coaches, staff members cannot wager on professional sports in which the NCAA also has championships. So, you know, football, basketball, baseball, hockey, tennis, golf. That's getting ready to go away. So they will be able to do that wagering. The answer for why is basically it's become too hard to police.
Yeah.
This is to a degree like when colleges tried to drug test for marijuana. And they're like, well, everybody is now smoking marijuana, so what are we going to do? Are we going to suspend everybody?
Yeah.
Or are we going to just to not test? And so I think this was the same case, as they were bogging themselves down with relatively minor infractions cases of guys, you know, or women, whatever, the athletes betting $200 on the NFL and then having to go through the, you know, get their phones, find the information, go through this investigative process, take the time of the school, take the time of the NCAA, and suspend them for two games. So I think that they're at this point of like, we can spend all of our time trying to catch these misdemeanors, or we could just not make them misdemeanors.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like a lot of things as you get older in society, and who decides, you know, new generation decides what's okay and what's not. And the staggering amount of opportunity for kids to gamble that was not like when we were growing up is just something. I mean, you don't like it. Are more games and more vulnerability of I'm really down against said, you know, guy taking my action makes you more vulnerable to doing something as a player. That's just something you're going to have to deal with. And it's probably happened more than we think anyway. And then it's up to Vegas and anybody to say, why is there unreasonable action on certain games that never would be action? That's still going to be the way to police that part of the game.
Absolutely. No, that is, I think, the you know, the concern, and I get it, I hear it, and I understand it. The logical concern is the more gambling there is, the more gambling problems there will be. Mm-hmm. And the more you have players who could be you know, get themselves overextended, lose money, and say, what's my one way out? And have somebody say, well, here it is. You know, you're down $10,000 or $15,000 or whatever the number may be. How about if you dump the first half of your game, basketball game, you know, next week?
Yeah.
Your team is already not very good. Here's the way these things have been happening. So, like, there is point shaving going on. There has been game fixing going on. There are NCAA infractions investigations going on about these things right now and federal investigations. And the way they have done it, the game fixers, is to target bad teams in obscure markets and obscure conferences and players that aren't getting any money anyway from NIL and say, you know what? Your season's already gone to hell. Why don't you help yourself out and help us out here and dump this first half? Don't have to lose the whole game. Just dump a half.
Yep.
And so that's where the corruption has been happening, and that's the concern, is that we're going to see more of that.
Pat Forty with us from SI on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Kudos on that fabulous piece you put together on Travis Hunter, spending time with him, with his passion, which is, I think, bass fishing, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Explain to the folks, because you traveled with him, you fished with him, you hung out with him. Not only did he give us a side of him we hadn't seen, you can tell us more about, but how does a story like that get put together in terms of access? How long do you work on it? That was a hell of a interesting piece you did.
Thank you. He's a fabulous kid, and a young man, I should say. And I'm hoping he has a great NFL career, because I think he's got an incredible spirit and mentality to excel and achieve things that people, frankly, just haven't done for 60 years. So the way it came about, frankly, my oldest son is the managing editor of Major League Fishing, the bass fishing pro circuit.
Cool.
And so he knows about this stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
And he told me last year, he said, hey, Travis Hunter's a big bass fisherman. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, he's big into it. You know, he loves it. And so I thought, hey, let's see if we can do a story on that. And we pitched it and said, it'll be the cover of the draft preview. And people still like to be on the Sports Illustrated cover of the magazine. And so they bought it, and we had a great time. We had a blast. And yes, he is a big time fisherman.
So what
He piloted the boat. He put us on the fish. He knew how to cast. I mean, he's exceptional at bass fishing.
What do you learn about somebody and what he's trying to accomplish that has never, ever been done? And can you really get more insight in that, totally away from football, and how his mind works in wanting to be great?
Yeah, you can. You know, I mean, the thing we're always trying to accomplish in sports writing or any kind of journalism is to get people to not feel like they're on guard and like they're putting on a false front, so to speak, because they feel like that's they need to have an appearance of X or Y. And so take them outside of a formal, stiff interview setting, get on a boat with a guy, you know, who that's where he wants to be. That's his happy place. And just start talking while you're fishing, and you learn things. And it's just, you know, it's been proven time and again, the more formal, stiff, and regimented an interview you do, probably the less real it is. So getting him in a different environment completely, I think, was really beneficial. But it was also a place that he wanted to be, so that was good.
So what do you think? And we got to get a couple more questions. We've got 2 minutes left. Does he think he can play a certain amount of snaps? Does he think that this is a challenge he's been living for?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he wants to do it. He believes he can. I believe that, you know, I mean, the Jaguars are going to give him a chance. I fully believe that. They'd be stupid, especially at this point, to tell him no. Get him into camp and see if he can do it. And I think he probably can. Now, you know, is there a snap number? Probably in somebody's mind, but I don't know whether there is in his. I think it's unlimited. Let me just go play both ways. It won't work out that way necessarily, but I think he's starting with that as his starting point, is I want to play every play all game.
You've covered 50 of the greatest coaches in college football over the years, or whatever the number might be. What's Kirby got that some of them don't have, and what's unique about him?
You know, a relentless drive, which, you know, they all have that to a degree, but then there's the next degree. There's the Nick Saban degree, which I think Kirby Smart has. He obviously is strategic in terms of thinking football, but also in terms of thinking roster and in terms of player projection and player development and figuring out we can take N'Kobe Dean and turn him into a monster. You know, we can take Jordan Davis and turn him into a monster. He finds guys that he can kind of visualize, okay, this is how they're going to fit in the way I want to play, and we're just going to unleash them. And he gets a ton of great players that don't mind being backups for a while, and so the competition in practice is insane. You know, the Tuesday practices are legendary there. And the other thing, like, he holds them to a standard. He's not going to coddle them. Now, some of the off-the-field stuff, the driving business, there's some enabling there. But on the field, I mean, you got to show up and you got to prove that you deserve your playing time at Georgia. He's done that.
I tell the story, my daughter who goes to Georgia, she'll be walking around campus late in the day, and she'll be like, oh, Kirby was on one today. He's on that megaphone. You want to talk about de-recruiting? Go take a little stroll around that area. And you'll hear, I don't think there's too many second grade classes that should be in the neighborhood when Kirby's getting on one, but you can hear it all over campus.
Oh, yes, you can. Yeah, my son went to Georgia, and that is an absolute fact. It is. He will peel the paint and change the vocabulary from anything you've ever heard before. That's for sure.
How'd your son like Georgia?
Oh, he loved it. He was a swimmer there.
And wow.
Cool.
You know, great team, swam for the legendary Jack Bowerly, and
wow.
It was great.
Did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the most accomplished swim teams of all time, and certainly the greatest coach of all time. Hey, this was fun. Hope you come on again with us, Pat.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you all.
See you. Pat Forty, SI. We'll find out what's happening at State Farm tonight. A guy named Salsa is going to join us. What a strange nickname. He's got like a big job at the Hawks, too. Sports Radio 92.9. Ten 41 Sports Radio 92.9.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the game. Let's just get this out of the way. You're going to text me. You're going to see me in line getting a pub sub or something. I'm going to film Atlanta Eats after this. That's why I got dressed up today. I'm going to go film Del Bar in Buckhead. And then I'm filming another restaurant tonight called Breaker Breaker. You're going to come up and ask me what I think of the Hawks trade. I think it was awesome. So, you know, that I get it that the guys had health issues, and that's why he was available. Like, and that's why, you know, the Celtics also had to dump major contract, as Caleb talked about this. Double apron or something. What do you call it?
Second apron.
That's like me at a rib joint. I need a second apron, not just a first one. So they were.
Do you wear a little apron when you are at the barbecue grill?
No. Hug the chef.
Any of you guys have one? Apron?
Hug the bald chef. Mm-hmm. Something like that. No.
I wear one in like a boil in the bag seafood place. Like
there you go.
Yeah. You aprons go. Or bib, definitely yep. Necessary. Mm-hmm.
I hope I have a bib next week. I'm in Boston, and I want to be doing a lot of lobster. You don't get lobsters down, and if you do, they're so friggin' expensive. So I'm going to go to, like, I'm going to go to Maine and just get that lobster bib and just...
Are they expensive up there?
Not like here, yeah. No. No, you can go to Maine and get twin lobsters for $20, two lobsters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you just got to go to a little shack on the road or something like that. Anyway.
You do a lobster roll with mayo, or you like it with just lemon juice and butter?
Thank you for asking. I'm all about the mayo. I don't do the butter. Like, lobster, to me, a lobster roll's got a ton of mayo, big pieces of lobster.
I don't even know who you are.
Right. Well, you know exactly who I am, because you don't understand mayonnaise.
Ugh.
That's why I like Jersey.
It's a very Goyim thing. You're going to get kicked out of the
That's
group.
Why I like the Jersey Mike's tuna. Because it's got a lot of mayo. Heavy mayo. It's heavy.
Nope.
I had it yesterday. I mean, listen, I don't judge you for the fact that you change your towel every single shower, literally. Every shower, she switches out a towel. I don't even want to tell you like in college, how many? I think I did a whole semester with one towel in college. Not like I was filthy or anything.
I'm going to throw up in my mouth.
All right.
Hey, game of the night, John Foy says. How about we're going to call it match of the night? I'm going with Atlanta United at Columbus, you guys. Our coverage begins at 6:30. So let's do this thing. And I'll remind you that Saturday's match at Miami is postponed because of the big match.
Lionel Messi coming to town.
Yeah, so there you go.
For the, what is it? The
Club World Cup.
Thank you. So no Braves and Mets tonight.
It is Braves and Mets, but I mean, I'm just, that's a given.
You're trying to spread the love. I get it.
Spread the love, and it's on our station in the Five Stripe Nation. They need some love. So there you go.
All right. Couple of other things.
WiseGuysProWash.com brings us the 10 o'clock hour. I don't know what you guys are waiting on. Call them today. Get your house pretty.
So texting with some of my buddies and saying, like, dude, we're on our way here with Porzingis and one of my wise guy attorney friends in Boston says he'll give you 8 solid games out of 82. That's I was like, bro, just stop hating.
10%. Good for us.
Yeah. He's a
They're referring to out of the 400 games he's been eligible for to play since 2020, he has missed 142. That's significant.
No, I mean, listen, they're going to be kid gloves with him. And I'm just going to tell you, certainly will never play back-to-back. It's hard for 7'2" people like his size to not be gimpy and like have issues. Like Shaq's different because he's got so much muscle behind him and he's just a bigger guy and he probably can take fall. Like this guy is gimpy. So I know that doesn't excite you, but I'm telling you, he averaged 19 points the last 2 years for the Celtics.
The Hawks got better by trading him. That's it. That's the bottom line. They just got better.
If he didn't play with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Derek White, he'd average 24 a game, 25 a game. And he's only 29 years old. And by the way, it's an expiring contract, so it's $30 million. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons to like that trade. So I'm going to continue to like it. Here's our three strikes questions. First up, give me a brand that handles their business well. A brand that just always handles their business well. A good, not great tight end that was easy to root for. Please don't tell me Tony Gonzalez, right? I get it, dude, right? You know, I want a good but not great tight end, college or pro, that was easy to root for, and an opposing stadium on your bucket list. I'm putting together our fall, so I'm looking at where we're going to travel to. For instance, I've had so many friends from Kansas City that are like, dude, how have you never been to a Chiefs game, right? Like how? So that's going to be on my bucket list. I want to go to a Kansas City Chiefs game. Maybe my buddy Steve Fisher or a few other Kansas City friends I have, right? I've never been to a game at Buffalo, which is, you know, I'm more prone to go to Kansas City because of the barbecue and everything else. But that's on my opposing stadium bucket
list. Have you ever
list.
Been to Buffalo, the city?
I have been to Buffalo when I was in Toronto filming for the Food Network. I think I may have gone across, it's like right there, across the pond or something. Is that right? I don't know. This guy will know. Andrew Saltzman, head honcho of the Atlanta Hawks, head of, I don't know, like the arena and the sales and then sponsorship and then, you know, he's got like 20
titles. King of the world.
What's that?
Head usher.
So what's happening tonight? I know we can't talk about a trade because the trades don't happen until it's official. But we do say officially you have a first-round pick tonight. What's happening at State Farm Arena? I feel like the Hawks' momentum is real. So where can people – what do you guys have planned?
Yeah, it's going to be an awesome night, State Farm Arena. It's a draft party. Doors open at 7. We've got Southern hip-hop icon Pastor Troy. I know you guys are big fans. Pastor Troy in the house performing.
Yep.
It'll be just a great night to celebrate. Yeah, we got the 13th pick overall in the first round. So it should be a great night. Really, really exciting down at State Farm.
Is there a cost to get in, Andrew?
You know, thank you so much for asking. It's a $5 cost, and all it goes to the foundation.
That's great.
All goes to the foundation and to benefit the YMCA of Metro Atlanta. Great organization. I know Stakes got to meet those folks, headed by Lauren Kuntz, the CEO. So, yes, $5. Like, go to Hawks.com to RSVP, and it all goes to YMCA.
You guys do a great job with presentation. It's about as fun a night out as there is, even more fun when you're winning games, which I think we're headed towards this year. Eventually, we'll have some announcements on moves that have been made. And also, our new general manager will be on with Dukes and Bell this afternoon live, where he won't be able to talk about kind of the trade that may or may not officially be told. But, Andrew, the one thing you learn about Hawks fans, whether it's last year with a first-round pick in Risa Shea or this year with another first-rounder or then moves made, like it feels like a city ready to explode if you just give them a little more dubs, Eastern Conference wide open. It feels like we're in a window here where good things can happen.
No question. Again, let's keep in mind this threesome, this young core we have. And Dyson Daniels, you know, obviously most improved player, first team all defense. Zachary Risa-Shea, who's put on a bunch of weight this summer. He's 19 years old for the entire season last year. Keep that in mind where we were all at 19. And then you look at, you know, Jalen coming back and seems like he's going to be in full force. So having those three along with Trey, obviously we saw what Okongwu did towards the end of the season, the load he was carrying. So it's really exciting times here to see this young core. And I think we've seen young cores in Oklahoma City and Indiana,
yep,
what they can do, and certainly future bright for the organization.
Yeah, and I would say looking at the Pacers and looking at their young core and ours and saying, I don't know that we're not in, if not the same, better spot, especially if we're adding the pieces that we're hearing about. All right, you want to stick around and play three strikes too or not? Are you too busy with all kinds of State Farm?
No, I can do a quick three strikes, but I didn't hear the question.
That's fine. So that's, listen.
So don't yell
that's
at Andrew.
Fine. I'm gonna say the questions. We're gonna play our sounder. We're gonna fill the phone lines. I'll give you a second. It is a brand that handles their business extremely well. I was thinking of that for State Farm because you know that's Andrew's partner. A good, not great tight end, college or pro, that was easy to root for. That was easy to root for. And an opposing stadium on your bucket list. You've never been an opposing stadium. 404-726-0929. It would be super embarrassing to have a big executive on, and we don't have full lines because that suggests maybe when we say we're the number one rated radio show in town, that maybe we're not. So make sure you fill the lines and don't embarrass me in front of my friend. 404-726-0929. Sandra, you got a brand that you're very loyal to?
Chick-fil-A.
You got a stadium you've never been to that is on the list?
Oxford, Ole Miss.
Well,
never been there.
That's not an easy. What's the drive from here to Oxford? Tulane is playing Oxford.
I'm not driving to Oxford. Yeah.
You're not driving there. Where do you fly to? Cincinnati or something?
Yeah.
Right? And the tight end that was easy to root for?
Jim Jensen, Miami Dolphins.
Wow.
Boston guy.
You see that, Andrew?
Impressive.
You got a brand that you're that handles their business really well?
I'm a huge JP Morgan Chase guy. I love the folks at Chase, and they're wonderful people. But have I mentioned Budweiser? Incredibly refreshing, right? And the Coca-Cola Company. Can you say enough about Coca-Cola?
We got it. Good, but not great. Tight end that was easy to root for.
You know, I got to tell you, that's always tough. I love Keith Williams. Keith Jackson. I thought he was a great tight end and easy to root for. And also, because I grew up back in the Dan Fouts era, I thought Kellen Winslow was super special.
Only issue is they're great tight ends. I would say, like, if he's listening, Algie Crumpler, really good. You know, maybe one or two Pro Bowls, but those guys were studs. Opposing stadium on your bucket list?
For me, growing up and went to Georgetown, I never got to see a Syracuse basketball game at the Carrier Dome. And they call it something else now, but it's the Carrier Dome. So it'd probably be the Carrier Dome.
All right, Anthony and Covington, a brand that you're loyal to that does a great job.
It is brand in college football right now, University of Georgia, always handling their business.
Good, not great tight end that was easy to root for.
Growing up, I fell in love with a tight end position with Frank Wycheck.
Perfect. Yeah.
Opposing stadium on your bucket list?
I got to go to Lambeau Field before I die. Just so much history there, man. Beautiful stadium. Got to get there.
Andrew, you've been there a few times. Thanks, buddy. How cool is that neighborhood that's got a stadium in the middle of it when you go to Lambeau? Is he there? Salsa? Hey, Salsa. All right.
He left us.
Dude, I knew he wouldn't stick through. I knew he thinks he's got...
He's busy. He's got a, you know...
What, he's got a host? He's got one pick tonight. What is it? He's not making the
pick. Are you sitting in front of a TV, like, all night for the watch? What are you... Are you going to glance at it?
Right. The Braves are on the same... Braves are on the same time, yeah, so I'll just go back and forth. Okay. JB in Atlanta. Hey, JB, a brand that does their business well.
Rev Lauren.
What'd you say?
Rev Lauren.
Give me a tight end, good, not great, that's easy to root for.
Austin Hooper.
Who did he say?
Austin Hooper.
Austin Hooper.
I got you, dude. Opposing stadium, that's on your bucket list.
Superdome.
Okay. Just thank you.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you for your call.
We appreciate people listening and calling in.
If you can understand them and if they're better, I mean, that was a C-. Sorry. Not sorry, as Sandra would say. And then Andrew just was gone before.
Well, he's so busy. I'm surprised he even
found what makes him so busy? Who's so busy? We're busy. We're here. We're busy. Tomorrow we're busy. We're here 9 to 11. That's what matters. Thanks, Bo. Thanks, Caleb. Enjoy the draft tonight. Dukes and Bella have Ansi Salah on to talk about or not talk about the trade that he can't talk about, but also the number one pick in the draft. We'll have full coverage tonight, which is going to be awesome. And then tomorrow we'll talk about Braves and draft and all kinds of stuff. Sandra, be careful.
I will. You too. There. Careful with that pocket square.
Yes. Thanks for making the steakhouse part of your day.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.